Welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and the studios of WMOT-FM. MTSU alumnus Sky Medley has a job that a lot of people would love to have. He works for ESPN's NASCAR unit, covering stock car races all over the country, making sure that people have what they need, and making sure that the program gets on the air and runs smoothly. We'll ask Sky for the specifics, and we'll talk to him about the other sports events that he has been a part of bringing to you. He's a Cheatham County native, and we'll drive right ahead with it after these words from MTSUnews.com.
Here are a few of the stories now on MTSUnews.com, the university's news and information website. MTSU's Center for Accelerated Language Acquisition is offering an interesting and dynamic way for students to learn Arabic. The class is both for students who are starting from scratch and those who already have learned the Arabic alphabet. A sports nutritionist whose clients include top athletes from baseball, basketball, and other sports will share her expertise with the MTSU community on Thursday, February 28th. Nancy Clark will discuss nutrition at 7 p.m. in the auditorium of MTSU's McWhorter Learning Resources Center. The event is free and open to the public. And MTSU alumnus Rodney Bennett has been named the first black president of the University of Southern Mississippi in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. The 46-year-old Bennett is the Vice President of Student Affairs at the University of Georgia. For MTSU News Anytime, go to MTSUnews.com.
And now joining us on the phone from Donelson, Tennessee, Sky Medley, MTSU alumnus and ESPN. Well, let's put a title on it. What exactly is it that you do, or how you would describe what you do?
Jen, it's a very good question. I am an on-site production coordinator for ESPN, covering motorsports for ESPN NASCAR, IndyCar, and the Winter X Games.
Which involves what? The care and feeding of announcers, or more on the technical end?
It's the care. It's the care. It's the feeding. It's the logistics, it's the security, the hotels, the rental cars, everything that everybody doesn't see is what I do.
Okay, so you're not responsible for making sure that the A end of the cord goes into the B end of the computer.
Oh, well, I was. We run everything off of what's called fiber optic cables, and our fiber optic cables stretch anywhere, depending on our racetracks, anywhere from 4 miles to we have 27 miles and 300 feet of cable that we take with us every week. I started off coiling all of those cables and putting them away in all the trucks, and as I've moved up through the ranks, I now have the people that do it for me, and I manage the people that plug everything in, deal with the producers and all their crazy, crazy requests for what you see on air, and then handle about 13 on-air personalities scattered about the racetrack.
Do you have to deal with an ego or two along the way?
Every once in a while, you'll run into a personality. We don't call them egos; we call them personalities. And it is an art on how to deal with our personalities. And it's not really that. It's more, if you look at it more as a family orientation, because you're spending so much time with everybody on the road. We spend 36 weeks the road every week on the road from Thursday to Monday morning. So you see them more than your actual family themselves. So learning them in and out is the key to really having a good work environment.
How many camera operators do you have on any given NASCAR race?
Well, we have different types of racetracks. So bigger racetracks require more cameras. On our smaller racetracks, we range between 30 and 35 cameras. If we do a big road course, we have to bring in a lot more. Our biggest production of the year is the Brickyard 400, which we run out of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's the most coveted racetrack in all of racing in America. So what we do is we do a 76-camera shoot involving 35 cameramen, probably 10 or so robotic cameras, and we place them in places where people can't be, that it's really dangerous, like right on the side of the track where it captures a really good crash or a really good bump or a really good move. Sometimes it's really difficult to put people there, so we have robotic cameras. then what we have RF cameras, radio frequency cameras, that cover all of the pit stuff, all the drama that happens in the pits, all the fights, all the arguments, all the good juicy stuff that creates really good stories and really, really exposes our sport to the real fibers that make it what it is.
Including throwing helmets and stuff like that.
Yeah, helmets, punches, all kinds of good stuff. We try to extract the best of racing, which is not necessarily the racing itself, but the drama that goes along with it.
What about the cameras that are mounted inside the race cars themselves? Are those ESPN property?
Yes. Well, actually, we subcontracted out to a subcontractor, and what we do is we hire a subcontractor to come in. They put in all the cameras into the in-car cameras, which you see now. We have probably 3 to 4 cameras on each car, so that adds to the amount of cameras that we have. And we usually select about 10 drivers that are really our focal point of our race, and then we'll put all the cameras on top of the car, and then we'll subcontract it out to the people to install them, and then we put it on air. So we'll have what's called robotic cameras in there as well.
Are they necessarily the top 10 drivers in the Nextel Cup standings, or is it more like who has the most interesting story arc going on at the time?
Well, it's actually the Sprint. It's Sprint Cup now. Sprint bought Nextel.
I'm sorry. I'm one sponsor behind. See, I grew up on the Winston Cup. I'm that old.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so we are now the Sprint Cup.
Okay.
And we have, we usually strategically place our cameras wherever we deem fit, either a good story on a driver that's really having a lot of stories coming out of their club, like somebody that has just switched teams and how they're adapting to their new crew chief, or somebody that's really sick. Is he going to be able to handle the stress in the car? So we put them strategically where we can get the best stories out of the drivers, not necessarily the leaders, but necessarily the most interesting type drivers.
Does NASCAR television coverage employ slow motion and stop action and isolation as much as other sports events do?
Yes, actually more so than other sports, because what people don't see sometimes is the little bitty things that make a race dramatic. You see a lug nut not placed properly on a tire, which then causes the tire to explode or come off and break, which then crashes into another car and then crashes into another car. So the smallest minute details can create such a fabulous outcome of events, and you can capture that. We have 10 tape operators, which they're called isolation tape operators, and they specifically are set to one specific car or group of cars. And what they'll do is they'll monitor them throughout the course of the race, and anything small that'll happen, a lug nut goes off, or a piece of the car flies off, or some type of debris gets lodged in the front fuselage of the intake, they'll catch that. And then when a car overheats or explodes or crashes into fire, we have the actual part of it that started it. And it's really cool to see that, and we have the resources to do it. So we do it more so than any other sport in the world.
What is it like working with the track personnel?
Every track is different. It's really strange. NASCAR in itself is an entity. And on top of NASCAR, you then have the facilities that facilitate NASCAR events and even IndyCar events. Everything is so different based track to track. Some tracks are more complex. They have more security. They have a lot more people to deal with. They have a lot of stuff going on, the festivities, the concerts, the amount of sponsors involved. So what happens is you must develop a personal relationship with every single track operations supervisor. So you meet a bunch of different people. So what you have to do is prioritize, you know, what are they dealing with first? Okay, we have this concert, this set of events, this type of stuff. Sharing, we have a lot of shared elements. We share a lot of cameras with some people. So what are we going to do coming into this race? What do you got to think about? Where's the fiber? Where do we have to run excess outlets? Where do we have to put generators? Where are the lights? On top of all this, then you have to consider safety. Are our workers safe? Are the people that we interact with safe? Is the facility safe? And every week you have to consider all these things.
We'll have more on MTSU on the Record in just a moment.
The Tennessee Civil War National Heritage Area is managed by MTSU's Center for Historic Preservation. A partnership unit of the National Park Service, the Heritage Area tells the whole story of America's greatest challenge, offering assistance with Civil War and Reconstruction era programs. Our projects include historic driving tours, museum exhibits, and nominations to the National Register of Historic Places. For all the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're back with MTSU alumnus Sky Medley, who works with ESPN's NASCAR coverage unit. When did you graduate from MTSU, Sky?
I first graduated in 2007. I did a three-year undergraduate stay, and then as I was working, I actually worked in Nashville at Fox 17 as an intern, and as I was doing that, I went back to school and graduated in 2009 with my master's degree.
Talk to me a little bit about how MTSU prepared you for what you do now.
The training itself was very cool because I got to interact with a lot of people actually in the business. A lot of my professors in the news business there at MTSU actually worked in jobs here in Nashville at different places like Fox 17, WMOT, a lot of FM radio stations. So you got to see people that were actually in the business doing what they do, which was really cool because in school you had the separation between the educational realm and the working realm. And mending those two together, MTSU does a really good job with that. But what it prepared me for, they told me, hey, you know, it's not about as much things that go into these classes. It's about what you take them and grow them into. So they're going to plant the seeds. So something like editing, you take a basic editing class, or you take a basic media script writing class. It's a basic skill, but what you do with it after you learn it is everything. It's what you take and the people you meet and the people that can help you after you graduate. And they introduce you to that. They're like, hey, this is something that you need to pursue after you graduate. This is something that you need to pursue while you're in school. These are the people you need to meet, and this is what you need to do to make it all work. And it's a good to see that they care enough and were prepared enough to plug you in and had confidence in you after completing the coursework to really put you in the job situation that made you glow.
So you got the theory, you got the practical experience, and you got the opportunity to make contacts.
Right, and that's what it is. And media is a very unique business due to the fact that it's a lot of networking. It's a lot of who you know. It's a lot of what you can do for the people that hire you. So, yes, it's a mesh of social networking, skills, and theory all combined together, and they did a really good job with that.
Did you want to be assigned to NASCAR by ESPN? Did you pick it, or did the company pick it for you?
Huh. Well, every media professional has a very interesting story on how they got into the business. Mine started with a little production company up in Gallatin, and I got my first opportunity to coil cable. That's the basic entry-level job, is coiling cable for a basic little production show. So I got I found this company up in Gallatin, and I kept emailing them, kept calling them, and trying to contact them just to try to get some work from them, just because I was in graduate school, I was broke, and I really wanted to learn some more stuff. So I called them and called them and called them, didn't get anything, nothing. So I finally found their address and went up there. They were closed for the afternoon, and I went and got some dinner, and I thought to myself, you know, how bad do I really want to do this? Is this what I have to do for every single job that I want to do, is go and beg and plead? And I said, you know what, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to try and see what I can do. So what happened, I sat there after dinner. I was going to go back up and go home and just come back the next day, and I was like, no, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to sit on the front porch of that company until somebody has to step over me and talk to me. So I sat on the front porch all night long, and about 7:30 in the morning, an engineer came by and kicked me awake, and I was sitting there. He's like, yeah, you need to scoot over because I need to go to work. We're like, well, I'd love to come work for you. And he said, how long have you been sitting here? And I'm like, well, I don't know, about 9:30 last night. I'm like, oh, well, come on in. Let me show you around. And so this one little production gig, it was a steeplechase, and he's like, you know what, you're not so bad. I'm going to let you come coil some cables over at Steeplechase for us this April. And in doing that, I went to Steeplechase, and I started coiling some cables, and it was a long, grueling, hard day of picking up. I was behind the camera guy. I was what's called a grip. And being behind the camera guy, I coiled all his cable, and then at the very end of the day, after the horse races were all over, we coiled about 15 miles of cable around the horse track. And at the end of the day, the crewer said, you know what, you did a good job. They need some help down here at this new Nashville Super Speedway. They're doing some sort of race down there. All right, I can go. So I went down to the National Super Speedway, and they had overbooked all of what's called a utility, which is basically a cable coiler. They had overbooked me. So they said, we can't really use you. You know, we're going to send you home. I was like, well, you know, that's not the best, but at least I tried. And as I was walking out, the camera guy that I had met at Steeplechase looked over at me and said, hey, Scott. Hey, yeah, you worked for me at Steeplechase. Let me introduce you to this guy named Brian Hudson. He needs somebody to sweep the floors and empty the trash. Okay. So I started sweeping the floor and emptying the trash. And I did it all that weekend, all through the race. I swept the floors and emptied the trash for the producers. And at the end of the weekend, he said, this Brian guy, he said, you know what? You're not so bad. What are you doing next weekend? I need somebody to sweep the floors and take out the trash. Okay. I can do that. Come to Kentucky. I'll come to Kentucky with you. And this happened for about a year. I did a year of traveling myself. I slept in my car, and I swept the floors, and I took out the trash for producers and talent on my little show. And at about the end of my first year, the director of motorsports, Mr. Rich Feinberg, he came to me. He's like, you've been sweeping my floors and taking out my trash for a year. You've not said one word. You've not complained. You haven't done anything that I didn't like. You've done a great job. I'm going to put you in charge of all the producers. I'm going to put you in charge of all the talent. I'm going to make sure that you are in a spot where you control their logistics, their hotels, their rental cars, security, and all of their social gatherings while they're on the track. I'm going to put you in the best hotels. I'm going to give you a rental car every week, and I'm going to fly you around the country, and at the end of the year, I'm going to give you a paid vacation to Costa Rica every year. After 1 year of sweeping the floors, taking out the trash, and sleeping in my car. And that's how I got my job.
And here I thought networking these days was all about social media. You did it the old-fashioned way.
I always, when people ask me, they're like, well, what do you recommend I do? What do you do this? I don't recommend doing something that you don't want to do. And I recommend to people, if you are so-so in the business, you don't really know what you want, you don't really know if it's, you know, if this is best for you, okay, all right, this probably isn't for you. But it's an old-fashioned saying of, if you hang in there, if you stick with it, if you give everything you got, if your sacrifices are honorable and you know that you can do it and you have a drive inside yourself, you can honestly accomplish anything. It might take a little longer than you like. You might get a little frustrated. But if you hang in there long enough and you have a great attitude, things will fall into place.
Dude, I'll take the paid vacation to Costa Rica. That's a nice perk. Holy mackerel.
Yeah, it's... I can't thank them enough for giving me an opportunity, but I know what it takes to get there, and it takes a lot of sacrifice, but it is very possible to do.
We'll have more on MTSU on the Record in just a moment.
The Middle Tennessee Writing Project is a program that fosters the effective teaching of writing to students in kindergarten through high school. The project hosts annual summer institutes where teacher participants teach and learn from each other effective techniques of teaching writing. In addition, the project sponsors summer writers' camps for youngsters. MTSU is one of 185 sites of the National Writing Project and one of only two in Tennessee. For all the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
Sky Medley is our guest. We're talking to him via telephone from Donelson, Tennessee. He's an MTSU alumnus and also a member of ESPN's NASCAR coverage unit. You've worked football and other events besides racing. Is covering any one sport any more complicated than any other?
Every sport has its own complications. NASCAR, and so because we're such in an isolated facility, it's usually outside of urban areas. They're in unique locations that are not equipped with fiber equipment for HD cameras. That's probably the biggest challenge we have in our compound. We share our resources with Speed and Fox. They're major competitors, but yet our closest friends because we share so much elements, so much information, and so much manpower. So we all play nice in the sandbox together. What makes racing such a interesting and long season is the length of it. It is so long. It's 36 weeks. It's twice as long as football. It's got 17 trucks. We use 17 production trucks, two full CAT generators, and 27 miles of fiber optic cable. Your basic Monday Night Football show has three production trucks, and about, probably about 4,000 yards of cable. And that's it. And that's a huge difference. People don't understand. We use about the same production and manpower as the Super Bowl every week.
And you only cover the Sprint Cup. You don't cover the Busch Series. You don't cover the truck circuit.
Oh, no, we do. ESPN has a full year-long contract with the Nationwide Series. Every single Nationwide race we cover. We then take over at the Brickyard 400 and run through the championship of Sprint Cup. Fox has the first 17 races, then TNT comes in for 6 races, and then we have the last part.
So you actually are dealing with different levels of NASCAR competition.
Yes, yeah. The Nationwide Series is the entry level into the Cup Series, so it's one right below it. So we deal with a whole bunch of new drivers, a whole bunch of new crews, a whole bunch of new owners and sponsorships. So it's almost two different worlds tied into one.
Do you and your colleagues discuss contingency plans for if, God forbid, a real true catastrophe happened while you were covering a race? Now, there are crashes all the time, there are fires all the time, but I'm talking about something that would make news outside the realm of sports, like, God forbid, a car veering off into the stands and killing spectators. Do you discuss how coverage of that should go if it should happen to occur?
Yes. We actually, unfortunately, had a death last year in our IndyCar series. Dan Weldon, former champion, amazing person, in the championship race at Las Vegas, was going into a turn and had a massive crash. And we were covering it, and as information came out, Dan Weldon died on impact of the wall into his car. At that point, it sent shockwaves through our entire crew and through all of our talent, all of our producers, and it was unreal the amount of just absolute taken away we were just by the fact that we were now televising a human being's death on TV. And what happens is you rise to the occasion. And not only do you cover what's going on, you honor the sport and honor the person that's going through this. We had a full coverage of it. IndyCar itself was just in absolute chaos just due to somebody died in the competition. So you don't back down from it. You rise. You honorably portray the story. You report exactly what's happening. You get with sponsors, you get with crews, you get with teammates, you discuss what's going on, you get with the producers and the talent, you go through every single thing that you need to cover to make sure that you do it right and that you portray the information as accurate as possible. And it's unfortunate that that happens, but that is the risk that every single driver takes every time they get into that car.
Have you ever covered any Grand Prix races?
No, we do not cover Grand Prix. It's a new thing. The Grand Prix on TV, it's been tossed back and forth through networks. I'm not on that particular series. Every once in a while, ESPN will come in and take over some Grand Prix stuff, but they mainly have me on the IndyCar and NASCAR side. But I actually did get to have the opportunity to cover these Winter X Games out in Aspen, Colorado. And it is a absolute unbelievable festival of people that really have something wrong in their head. They have this desire to go and jump and do crazy tricks and get on snowmobiles and do a couple backflips.
We're talking about snowboarding and half pipe and moguls.
Yeah, snowboarding, half pipe, snowmobile jumps, big air contests. It is an absolute craziness in one TV show. And I just got back from that last week, and we crowned a lot of medals. We had 2 6-peaters. We had Tucker Hibbert did 6 gold medals in a row in snowcross, racing his snowmobile. He got 6 gold medals. And then, of course, Sean White got his 6-peat in the half pipe on a snowboard.
Now, what sort of challenges does covering an event like that present?
Well, Winter X Games was actually created by ESPN. It's a made-for-TV sport, which actually makes it a lot easier for the TV guys and girls, because the events are made specifically for broadcasts. So what happens is you can hold the event up while you're in a commercial break, which is unbelievable. It's never been done before in sporting.
It's like a TV timeout in the NFL.
Yeah, it's like a TV timeout, except they have to do it. The NFL does it, and the NBA does it, but ESPN now has the ability to say, now we want our break. The event will stop for us instead of waiting for the event to come to a timeout. So it's a really interesting way to produce a sport.
We'll return with our final moments with Sky Medley on MTSU on the Record right after this.
The Experiential Learning Scholars Program at MTSU gives students a chance to go outside the classroom and obtain hands-on experience in their chosen fields of study. They'll have the opportunity to give something back to the community through service learning as they gain acceptance for graduate study. Students should be able to select EXL-designated courses from major requirements and general studies requirements to complete the 16 to 18 hours of EXL coursework. For all of the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
In our remaining moments with Sky Medley, how does your wife feel about you traveling around the country as much as you do? Does she go with you all the time?
Well, my wife was a fifth grade school teacher down in Christiana. She was a fifth grade school teacher at Christiana Elementary School. And when I met her, she was teaching away. And when we got married, we moved up to Nashville. We were living in Rutherford County. We moved up to Nashville. And I got the opportunity to take on more work, and the positions came open to where she could actually come and work with me in the office on the road. And so she did, and it's been an absolutely amazing experience having my family on the road with me now, that we can share in all the travel, all the hardships of doing it, but we get to do it together. And we get to experience a whole new realm of life and travel and fun. And it's been a really, really good decision.
Do you have any kids?
No kids yet. We're not quite there yet. but you never know. Here in a couple of years, we might have a couple little medleys running around.
Just don't let them grow up to be NASCAR racers, okay?
I can't stop them. I can't stop them from getting in the cars. If they want to do it, they're more than welcome to.
Sky Medley, MTSU alumnus and member of ESPN's NASCAR coverage unit. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
MTSU On the Record, a news and information program about Middle Tennessee State University, is produced by the university's Marketing and Communications Office, which is solely responsible for its content. Read more about MTSU at our website, mtsunews.com. Podcasts of this program are available at mtsunews.com and on iTunes.